Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I do want to say this, and the different men on staff would agree with me. If I tried to compliment Pastor Myers while he was here, he would probably end up saying, you know what, we're taking too much time. We need to run the service. Okay, he's very streamlined, but he's not here, so I'm going to go ahead and say a couple of nice things about him. First of all, Pastor Myers is one of the hardest workers that I know of. Let me say that. He's one of the hardest workers that I know of. He's rarely misses work. He's all the time he's on time, and I appreciate that. There's a lot of character behind that. He's deeply committed to the family. You know, just let me throw this out there. Have you guys noticed, and I'm sure you have, actually, how do you take this? I'll press the button. All right, Brother Oscar, last time I did this, I almost broke this mic. And fun fact, these mics are not $20. Apparently, they're over $1,000 or something. So I saw the decrease in my paycheck. I was like, man, what's going on over here? And the sad thing is that took a couple paychecks to meet $1,000, right, if you're wondering. But he's deeply committed to the family. Like I was saying, if you haven't noticed, every single one of Pastor Myers' kids are in church. As a matter of fact, in this church, unless he has another kid that I don't know about, all right? All of his grandkids are in this church, and they're faithfully serving God. Thank the Lord for that. Let's give that a round of applause. Man, that's amazing. If you've been around Christianity for any length of time, you'll realize that somehow, some reason, Christian young people get to the age of 18, 17, 18, they're out of it. They quit church, but his whole family, he has a big family, a rather big family. They're all faithfully serving in our church. And I'm a little biased, but my favorite's going to be Ryan and Alice's family because they're in my class, okay? But praise the Lord. Also, Pastor Myers is incredibly generous. Incredibly generous. I have seen him just pay for people. Now, don't go up there and challenge this, all right? Just whatever it is. If there's a need and someone's really struggling, he and Miss Alma take care of it almost instantly. It's amazing. I take care of the school's finances, and there's been many times he's paid for students and families in the school. And maybe I'm not supposed to say any of this stuff. Sorry, Pastor. Turn off the live stream, whatever. But he never tries to get credit. He doesn't tell me. I find out, all right, because I'm nosy. But praise the Lord for a generous pastor. And I would dare say, in my opinion, he's probably the biggest giver in our church, percentage-wise, everything. Just an amazing giver, amazing servant of the Lord. And let me say this, and I'm going to move on with my message here. I respect Pastor Myers immensely because here's the deal. I grew up in a non-Christian, in a non-Christian home. My mom's saved, and my dad's made a profession of faith, and that's a blessing. However, when I was growing up, it was an unsafe home. It was hard to get to church. It was hard to make Christ a priority. My home was not, I didn't have parents that prayed for me or parents that, you know, that encouraged me to go to church. And I do now, thank God. My mom, today I wasn't going to come this morning, tonight, but my mom encouraged me to come tonight. Just kidding. She said, you're preaching, son, please. But anyhow, Pastor Myers, he was one of those staples. He was Brother Myers back then, Brother Steve back then. And he always made his home available for me, a teenager. And because of that, and also God's grace, I believe I'm still here today. Thank God because of the leaders that invested in me. I'm thankful for that. And of course, you know, let me say one more. I was going to stop, but let me say this. Pastor Myers gave me opportunity on staff. Of course, when Pastor Esposito got sick and Pastor Myers had to take the helm, I wasn't sure if I was going to get fired. Like, man, he's going to fire me. Oh, no. He gave me a promotion. He gave me more responsibilities. He gave me an opportunity to blossom in the will of God. And by the way, that's important. Everyone needs to blossom in the will of God. That's what we should be striving for. Not to be famous, not to be rich, but to blossom in the will of God. So thank you, Pastor Myers. I appreciate that. And what a wonderful pastor that we have. All right, let's move on here. The title of the lesson or the message tonight is going to be For the Glory of God. For the Glory of God. Now, I must say, this morning, Brother Joseph did a phenomenal job. He mentioned, I think, a point or so on the glory of God. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to change my message up. And I'm not that talented, okay? But thank the Lord, he transitioned to something else that was just as good. And praise the Lord for that. So I went ahead and modified the message a little bit this afternoon. But because he did a great job, and I definitely would be able to do as good of a job as he did. But we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. We're going to read a couple of verses, but just to start off with, we'll just read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. The Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Whether therefore ye eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul is telling us here that basically everything should be done for God's glory. Simple things as eating and drinking and more complicated things. Everything should be done for God's glory. It ought to be our desire built in within our heart and our motives. Every day that we live, we ought to be striving to give God glory. By the way, God demands glory. What is the glory of God? The Bible describes the glory of God as his incredible greatness and beauty. It's all of the amazing qualities that make God who he is, like his holiness, his power, and his overall goodness. By the way, isn't God good this evening? And by the way, God is good in uniquely different ways to each and every one of us. And we're not going to pass around a microphone today, but it wouldn't be inappropriate to pass around a microphone to ask each section, what does God mean to you? Why do you think God should get glory? And undoubtedly, someone's going to raise their hand and say, his forgiveness is amazing. I'm thankful that God forgave me. Someone else is going to say, his long suffering. I've been a knucklehead most of my life, but God has been patient with me, and he's been long suffering toward me. And that's understandable. That's good. Someone else is going to say, his love. I've been lonely. I've been neglected. I've been rejected, but the love of God has sustained me. And by the way, the love of God has sustained us. And by the way, those are all good. God's grace, God saved me. Even though I was a sinner, God still loved me. God saved me. And by the way, all of those things embody the glory of God. Let me say this evening. God wants glory. God wants glory. But oftentimes, he doesn't get glory. We'll talk about this later. The reason why God doesn't get glory is because instead of pointing to Christ when we do something good, we point to ourselves. We point to my class did good today? Yeah. But it's really, you like my family? My family is a blessing to you? Look at me. Oh, you like the message? Well, you know. I survived a serious car accident. Well, you know, a lot of vitamins. No, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. You are who you are, and I am what I am. And the more that we take credit for the grace of God instead of giving him glory, the less that he's going to do great works in our life. That's just the way that it works. I don't know about you, but I want God to perpetuate his goodness in my life. I want God to continue his grace in my life. I want God to continue his love in my life. So I'm going to have to give God glory for the glory of God. For the glory of God. So in essence, doing everything to the glory of God or living for the glory of God means living in a way that shows how amazing and great God is. It means letting our actions, our words and our thoughts point to God's goodness, God's holiness, and God's love. Let me ask you a question. The way that you choose to live, the way that I choose to live, does it point back to God's goodness? Does it point to God's glory? The way that you choose to have entertainment, I know that's big in a lot of homes. The way that you choose to introduce movies or music in your car or movies on your TV screen in your living room, does that bring God glory? Or do you have to pretend that God isn't there? Because how in the world can a Christian watch something with nudity? How in the world can a Christian watch something with curse words? How in the world can Pastor said this the other day. You know, I haven't watched it. I've seen pictures of it. The mockery of the Lord's Supper in the Olympics. And by the way, that's blasphemy, as Brother Joseph mentioned. But let's be honest here. There's a lot of blasphemy that goes on, not just during the Olympics, all the time in our homes if we're not careful. All the time. God's name in vain, cursings, immorality. Oh, man. Let's give God the glory by the way that we live. After God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, Moses and the people burst into song, praising God for his incredible miracle. Miriam, Moses' sister, grabbed the tambourine and led the women in dance, singing, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously for the glory of God." King David was always full of passion for God, expressing his love and gratitude in the Psalms. One time he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name for the glory of God. When Daniel revealed King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he didn't take the credit for himself like many of us do. Instead, he praised God, saying, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Let me ask you a question. Has there been something that God accomplished in your life that he was waiting to get glory? Maybe he restored something. Maybe he restored a wayward child. Maybe he restored a wayward relationship. And he's just thinking, oh man, surely they're going to give me glory. Look at them. They were in the world last year. They were drinking tequila last year. They were smoking cigarettes, or they were doing something vile and filthy last year. But look, they're in the house of God this year. Certainly they're going to give me glory. Certainly they're going to praise my name. That guy nearly killed himself. He's certainly going to. And then yet we point to ourselves. We give ourselves glory. Well, you know, the reason why I'm alive today is because I take a lot of vitamins. Oh, the reason why, you know, my wife and I, we have such a great relationship is because we read this book. No, this is the book that you should be referring to. The Word of God. The Word of God. God, to God be the glory. After seeing baby Jesus, the shepherds were ecstatic. They couldn't stop talking about everything they had seen and heard, and they went back to their fields glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. When Peter and John healed a man who couldn't walk, they made sure everyone knew it was Jesus' power at work. Let me have a question for you. Whenever something gets accomplished in the name of Christ, do you make sure, do I make sure that everybody knows, don't look at me. God is amazing. Oh, my kids are a blessing to you. Let me make it very clear. God. Oh, praise the Lord. My wife and I, we don't fight as often as we used to. And by the way, we won't ever fight if she just realizes that I'm right. But let me say this. To God be the glory. To God. I get the opportunity to preach and teach and love on people. To God be the glory for everything that you accomplish, for everything that I accomplish. Let's never forget. Make it clear to everybody. To God be the glory. Hey, we got a great church. We have great leaders, a great staff, and we have great laymen, and all those things are true. But let's never forget the ultimate. To God be the glory. God has assembled all of us here. And I'm so thankful that this is my church. The emphasis that we have on children, for children, there's something for them. They're not just going to be catered on out of here or shooed on out of here when they graduate from high school. I'm thankful there's opportunities to serve God. I think it was Brother Tim mentioned this morning in class, many of our teenagers, they run rest homes. They run, teach and preach and sing in rest homes on Saturday morning. Most teenagers are either Fruit Loops, or actually, I like, the marshmallow one, Lucky Charms, that's a good one, right? Man, they're eating Lucky Charms and they're staying at home playing the video games. Our teenagers, by God's grace, they're out there soul winning, sharing the gospel, loving on people that are generally neglected for the glory of God, for the glory of God. Hudson Taylor spent 50 years in China fully embracing the culture to better connect with the Chinese people. His dedication to sharing the gospel in tough conditions glorified God and inspired many others. Amy Carmichael, I believe Audrey's reading this book, biography. Amy Carmichael, either that or Michael Jackson, I forget which one exactly. Something Michael. Just kidding. Serving in India for, you need to get rid of your records, right? Just kidding. Serving in India for 55 years, rescuing children from temple prostitution. She founded Donavar Fellowship, showing God's love and compassion through her selfless service. You know what she was doing with her life? Giving it for the glory of God. Amen. Giving it for the glory of God. Adoniram Judson spent nearly 40 years in Burma translating the Bible and establishing churches despite facing imprisonment and personal loss. His faith and dedication to God's work were unwavering. David Livingstone, a missionary and explorer in Africa, worked to end the slave trade and opened up the continent to Christianity and commerce. His passion for God left a lasting impact. What about with our lives? What are we accomplishing? They made it very clear that you can stamp that my purpose for living is stamped for the glory of God. My encouragement tonight is that we would all have that figurative stamp that we put on our lives for the glory of God. I like to have fun, but I'm going to make sure I live my life for the glory of God. I love entertainment, but I'm going to make sure I live my life for the glory of God. I love to get my way, but I want to make sure that God gets his way for the glory of God. I want my children to be able to have success and be able to do wonderful things and financial security and all that wonderful stuff. But at the end of the day, I want them to have the glory of God revealed in their lives. Let's live our lives and give our lives for the glory of God. I didn't even get into my point yet, but I know the time and we'll be done early. I promise, all right? Or my wife's going to throw her right shoe at me. And if I go in longer, she'll throw her left shoe at me, okay? We went over this already. When we choose to be a bright Christian by living right, living with integrity, being Christ-like, then we are living for God's glory, pointing people to give credit to God's goodness and God's love. When there is a need for God's work, our church rises to the occasion to meet that need in a very selfless manner. Let me say this. As a staff member, I get to be a part of a couple of the meetings, and you guys are heavily bragged upon. It's amazing. And I'm, you know, you ever had those situations where you want to brag on your kids, but if you're scared if you brag on them, they kind of think that they've arrived a little bit. Well, I'm going to throw all those fears to the side and just brag on you and tell you, you guys are an amazing church. I'm telling you right now, there's no love offering for me. There's one for pastor afterwards, right? But there's no love offering for me here. But let me make it very clear. These rooms and this building isn't why that I'm a member of Pacific Baptist Church. This church building is not the reason why I want to give my life to serve here, and I do. As a staff member of Pacific Baptist Church, that the school's being remodeled right now, and Brother Tim and his crew are doing a great job, but that isn't the reason why. The members are. The members are. You're selfless. Whenever I'm cooking for the church, and I'm not preaching, I'm preaching or cooking. When I'm, man, there's amazing people that just volunteer to help out, set up, and that doesn't happen. Normally it's like, oh, I'm busy. Here, it's like, I have to tell people, okay, we have enough. We have enough. And by the way, don't ever change your mindset, because when you live that way, when we strive to live in that way, it's for the glory of God. And God blesses where people give him glory. God blesses. But God removes his hand of blessing when people try to take it upon themselves and take credit for everything that is accomplished. When we choose to live in a bright Christian way, salt and light, we give God glory. When we resist going with the flow of worldliness and taint our family with worldly dress styles or worldly entertainment, we speak loudly with our actions. To God be the glory. By the way, it's not hard to want to go with the flow. Man, people have a nice this, a nice that, and they're dressed, they're in. I'm hardly in style, okay? I figure if I go with solid colors, I'll be safer, okay? But most of the time, my wife looks at me, okay, honey, okay. Hey, I don't care. I'm married already. I got kids already. I'm good. I don't have to impress anybody, right? But at the same time, let me say this. It's not very hard when you have something cool for me to want it. And by the way, I want it so bad sometimes that I'm willing to sacrifice some godly things so that I can get it. Material possessions flatter sometimes. Oh, look, he has a nice jacket. It's not just a nice jacket. It's a name brand nice jacket. By the way, let me make a confession up here because I really don't care. Okay. If I have any name brand, let me give you a secret here. And this is not a good confession to make if I'm trying to impress, but I'm not, so I'll make it. If I have anything name brand, it's generally discontinued. Okay. What discontinued means, they're not continuing to sell it because it's an old style, and because it's discontinued, it is marked down incredibly. Let me give another confession. I just saw Brother Savani and Miss Edgel. This is their fault, not mine. The car that I have, the SUV that I have, is a Honda Pilot. The model is EX, which is, I think it's the second lowest model or something, or whatever, however you say it. It's not the highest. It's like there's a lower one and there's that one. You save money, basically. All right? But then they put on my car, not me. They put on, I forgot what, a Touring. It says Touring. Touring is one of the higher models. My car is not a Touring. That's a cheap upgrade, all right? So how much, that upgrade I think would have cost like $15,000 or something. How much that upgrade cost me? Nothing. My friends put it on for a couple bucks. That's it. I took my car somewhere the other day, and they're just, okay, they're writing my car information. Okay, Pilot Touring. I go, no. It's not, that's just a label there. It's not a Touring. You say, why would you tell us that? We would have never known. We would have thought you were really, really rich. Because I don't want you to ask me for money, okay, and think I'm rich, right? That's why. We don't have that. God is big, and God is worthy, and it should only make sense for us to live in such a way, not to highlight our abilities, but to give God the glory. Sadly, living for God's glory isn't much of a priority in the lives of many Christians. Our goals are often so people can point and say how amazing we are, how much we know. And by the way, be careful. Pride is a killer. Pride is a destroyer. And when you have the tendency to want to share your knowledge, or you have the tendency to want to get fingers be pointed at you, wow, he's amazing, she's amazing, that's when God doesn't get his glory, and that's when we fall victim to pride. Because of pride, one of the biggest obstacles that keeps us from living a life that glorifies God is pride. Because of pride, we want credit and recognition for everything we accomplish, thus limiting how much we truly glorify God for what he has done in our lives. Pride is a destroyer. By the way, it destroys marriages. If you are, or not you, I don't want to get anyone to nod their head here, okay? It'd be awkward. If you know someone married to someone that is a know-it-all, oh, yeah, okay, here you go, okay. No matter what you say, no matter what you learn, they learned it better. They know it better. You got to be careful. Let me say this. That will destroy marriages. And I don't want you to nudge your spouse right now, okay? Because if I was sitting next to my wife, she'd nudge me. But no one wants to be married to a know-it-all. Pastor Myers has a meeting with us every week, but if my tendency was to always, no, Pastor, I think we do it better this way. We do. First of all, it's awesome that we have a very smart pastor. He could just figure it out best the first time. At the same time, if I was this type of staff member, Pastor, I think you should do this. You should, and I was always trying to insert my opinion, I probably wouldn't have a job, and rightfully so. Because we all, I say this, pride has a stench to it. Pride has a stench to it. It destroys marriages. It destroys the child-parent relationship. Oh, man. It destroys churches. And most tragically, it destroys God's glory. And we want to make sure we preserve and give God the glory that he deserves. Because we want him to continue his working in our church and in our families. Let me look at three ways really quick. And we're going to be done much earlier than we typically do. And I'm going to have a little tray over here if you want to just write a little note to give the pastor personally. Tell him how thankful you are. I'm just kidding. Actually, I said this the last couple of times I've preached, and I'll say it again. I mean it. I get why Pastor has Brother Joseph preach, because he's a great preacher. I love hearing him preach. At the same time, you got to have people like me that just remind people what you're missing. When he comes back, I hope you enjoy Brother Charles. I'm surprised he didn't give me 20 opportunities to preach. I mean, man, that just then the church might have died by then, all right? But anyhow, we're looking forward to having Pastor. By the way, I love the way Pastor preaches, because he goes through the Bible systematically, and he's a very good Bible teacher. Not everyone's a great Bible teacher. Some people think they are, but he's not. And him and Brother Joseph, my two favorite preachers there. All right, next year. And then when I'm arguing with my wife, I think I'm one of the better preachers in our relationship. So, glorify God, number one, glorify God in our daily life. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In other words, whatever you do, make sure you do it for the glory of God. My motive in everything that I do, my motive for entertainment, my motive for ministry, my motive for raising my family, my motive for running my relationship with my wife is for the glory of God. That needs to be true for everybody, for the glory of God. If it doesn't fit in that realm of being bringing glory to God, then I have to exit out of my family, my life. If I can't bring glory to God because of what I put on the TV, time to get it out. If I can't bring glory to God because of what I put on my radio in my car, time to get it out. If I can't bring glory to God because of how I'm running my relationship with my wife, got to get it out of there. Got to get it out of there. Letter A, in your activities. I'm sorry, in your actions. Our daily decision making. By the way, we have a lot of decisions that we make every day. We need to make sure we glorify God within our decision making. The decision to go to church. Church should not be an option. I know I'm the staff member, so I have to go to church. First of all, let me say this. If I didn't want to go to church, I wouldn't be a staff member. It's pretty simple. I love church. I love this life. That's what, sign me up. Oh, I got to go soul winning to be a staff member. Oh, let's go. I have to love people. Let's go. I have to walk with God. Let's go. I have to glorify God. Let's go. Let's go for the glory of God. The decision to be a blessing. The decision to spend time with the Lord. It shouldn't be an option. Listen, everybody's busy, but we should never be too busy to not have God's power in our lives. We should never be too busy. No, I think today, if you're reading the Bible with the church, it's Psalm 62 or one of those. And in Romans 5, I think it is. Three chapters, it doesn't take that long. But I'll tell you what, if you don't spend time in the Word of God faithfully, you can be sure God is not getting glory in your life. You can be sure that you're living life on your own. And I'm going to tell you this, there are a lot of things I'll do on my own. I don't mind brushing my teeth on my own. But living life with five kids? No way. I don't want to do this on my own. I want God's help. I want God's favor upon my life. How we respond to others? Uh-oh. This involves the way we choose to live our life in general, whether we are at work, at home, or out with our friends. Every action we commit should show our commitment to God for the glory of God. I found this story about Eric Liddell, I think his name is. I have his biography in my office, but I figured it'd take 2 hours to read the book or just pull out an excerpt here, okay? We decided to go with this. All right. Known for his exceptional speed, Eric Liddell, a Scottish athlete, was favored to win gold in the 1924 Paris Olympics, the one that didn't dishonor God with the opener. However, when he discovered that his race was scheduled on a Sunday, he refused to compete, believing it was a day of rest and worship. Instead, Eric competed in the 400 meter, a race he had not trained for. Before the race, an American masseur handed him a piece of paper with a Bible verse. He that honors me, I will honor him. Eric ran with conviction and faith, and to everyone's astonishment, he won the gold medal, breaking the world record. After the Olympics, Eric gave up the fame and potential wealth of being an athlete to serve as a missionary in China. Wow. During World War II, he was intern in a Japanese prison camp where he continued to live out his faith, teaching and caring for his fellow prisoners. Eric Liddell died in that camp, but his legacy of unwavering faith and dedication to God's glory continues to live on. Listen, we ought to glorify God in our daily life. There are going to be situations where you will be tempted to not go to church so you can go to a party. Not go to a church because you're going to an ungodly activity. You're going to be in those situations. Make it very clear to not only yourself or your family, and that's important, make it clear to God that you are not budging. You know the interesting thing is, Brother Joseph, no one invites me anywhere on Sundays. I made it very clear when I was younger. And my mom is here somewhere. I think my mom knows pretty clearly, and I was probably a little bit more not as nice when I was younger, but I was just like, no, it's church. I don't go to parties, or I don't go to birthday party celebrations, or auntie's coming from wherever. No, we don't have time for that. Church, Sunday is for church. That has to be very clear to my family and also to God. Next year, glorify God in your relationships. Glorify God in your relationships. John 13, please turn there, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we're going to look at two verses here. 13, verses 34 to 35. For sake of time, I'm going to start reading right now. John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, this is the sign, this is the evidence, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Question for you: if people take the time to evaluate your life and your love for your neighbors, your love for your friends, or your love for your family, based on the love that you display and implement in your life, do people know that you're a disciple of God? You know, it's kind of funny sometimes, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but it's too late. I already introduced it. Sometimes I'll be out with my family and we'll see a lady that's very modestly dressed. And by the way, please continue to dress modestly, because there's not a lot of modesty out there. Let me step back a little bit. Our pastor, there's not a lot of modesty out there. Oh, wow, I can still hear myself. Oh, the microphone's right, that's why. There's not a lot of modesty out there, but when we do see modesty, it's like, wow, she must be a Christian. And they probably aren't even saying, who knows? She must be a Christian. She must be a child of God. Wow, what a blessing. She must be a faithful church member of Pacific Baptist Church, even though I never seen her before. You know why? Because modesty is rare nowadays. Everyone wants to show skin and this and that. But based on the way that you love God and you love others, people can tell that you are Christ's disciple. And if they can't, oh. You know, sometimes I'll go to Walmart, and I don't go to Walmart very often, okay? I love Costco. I'm a Costco fanboy, all right? One time I went in the Sam's Club. Sir, I can't hear you. Jack's in the way. I said, where's... I love Costco. But at the same time, let me say this. Sometimes I'll have to go out shopping in flip-flops or windbreakers. I feel bad. I feel bad. That's not the outfit of a preacher. But hopefully no one recognizes me. And by the way, if you see me out and I'm dressed that way, don't say hi to me. Don't say hi to me. That's not me. That's not me, okay? I'm always in a shirt and tie and suit and alligator shoes and all. Nah. But based on the way that we have our relationships, people will know that we are God's disciples. By the way, this involves the way that we choose to raise our family. I love the family because I have one. Amen. I love the family. And by the way, it's very important to me that my children are raised correctly. And by the way, that responsibility is on these shoulders. I can point to my wife all I want, and sometimes I do for the fun of it. But I'm the leader of the home, and I'm thankful she helps me by following me. Thank God for that. Good wife. But let me say this. I've got to raise my kids right. That's why I'm so thankful for the leaders that I had when I was younger. The three main leaders that I had when I was younger. And I feel a little bad for you guys, because the leaders that I had are better than the leaders that you had. Okay, sorry. But number one, my pastor at the time was Pastor Joe Esposito. Brother Myers, or Pastor Myers now, very integral part of my life, and just me being able to have a place to go to so I wasn't alone getting into trouble. And Brother Johnny Esposito. Oh, let me say this about them real quick. They're still serving the Lord. I mean, pastors, handicap right now, but if you know this, and I know this, those of you that knew him, if he was able to, he'd be here every service. Every service. But let me say a little bit more. Brother Johnny Esposito, three of his kids, off the top of my head, three of his kids are serving the Lord full-time in this church, in this school. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. And their kids are all in our church. Pastor Myers, all of his kids, as I mentioned, all of his kids and grandkids are faithful parts of our church. And I love the fact that he travels a family. I think they're at Mars right now. They're just, I was trying to be funny, but that was like a dad joke equivalent, right? Don't do that one again. But they're all together. Thank God for that. What a joy it is to know that your family is together. By the way, let me make it clear. Every one of us covet that. We would want that. Are you telling me that I wouldn't want my kids? I only have five kids. Pastor Mike has like 20 or something like that. I have 5 kids, and one day when they get married and one day when they have kids, I would love for to be able to spend time with my family. I would love that. Oh, Pastor Esposito, I forget off the top of my head. I think it's 5 children that are on staff at this church. I can't make this stuff up. What a blessing. What a heritage that I have. These are the leaders that made a difference in my heart and life. And by the way, Pastor Esposito's family, his son preached this morning, and I love Brother Joseph. I personally think Brother Joseph is the model, I'll say it. Take me out to eat, brother. The model for second generation. I would love to have my son be faithful, even to a certain extent, smaller extent, to what Brother Joseph is doing for our church. That's the heritage that I have. So I have a responsibility to make it very clear to my family that, hey, glorify God in your relationships. And then lastly, and I'm done. It's only 5:47, all right? So I'm going to try to have fillers here, okay? I'm going to make up a story in a little bit here for time. Number 3, avoid glory hogging. Avoid glory hogging. That isn't a very appropriate word, but I just wanted to. I was thinking about basketball. Basketball, you know, the ball hoggers, the ones that always take all the shots. Avoid glory hogging. Don't do that to God. If God was on your basketball team, give him some shots. Actually, wouldn't it be cool to have God on your team? Whatever you needed, anything, he'd just make it. Here you go, Lord. Half court, we need a half court shot. Psh, swish. Every single time. Isaiah 42:8, the Bible says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Give credit to God. God deserves credit. Make it clear that it is his power working through us. Always remember that. Is that AI or what is that? What is going on over here? Make it clear that his power, it is his power working through us. Always remember that God's hand is in our successes. By the way, I don't know what you've accomplished, but here's a quick question. Whatever you've accomplished, maybe you have a great family. Maybe you have a great marriage. Maybe that you and your wife actually talk to each other about fighting. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe you're faithful in our church and you have intricate, big ministries that you're head over. Make it very clear, God is in the hand of all of our successes. Amen. It is by the glory of God. If you got a great diet and you're taking supplements and you're exercising, you're doing all this good stuff to maintain your body and to be healthy, to be strong, praise the Lord for that. But don't forget, it's not the supplements. It's not the exercise. It's not the vitamins. It's God's hand of blessing. Bottom line, make it very clear, as I'm making it clear again tonight, please never try to take God's glory, because God will have a problem with that. And let me say this, I don't want a problem with anybody, but the person I really don't want a problem with is God. Because God can literally, there goes Charlie, gone. I don't want to mess with God. Someone said, oh, you know, the fear of God isn't because we fear God. We just should respect him and have reverence for him. Listen, I respect God and I have reverence for him, but I also fear God. I'm also scared that he's going to flick me and I'm going to go. And I'm not that hard to go because I'm not too big, right? Don't take credit. Give credit to God. Remember, he's in all of our successes. And last thing, and I'm done here. Stay humble. Stay humble. I often say this, and hopefully you guys like it, and maybe it's original with someone else, but I try to remind myself this often. Humility is the road to restoration. Humility is the road to restoration. When there's an issue, and I'm telling my wife that I'm right and she's wrong, got to be humble if I want to get dinner. I got to be humble if I want that foot massage. I got to be humble because oftentimes our problem is our pride. We think we know exactly how to do this and how to do this better. And I know how to do this. And I know how to. Can I tell you something? That's wonderful. Go out there and do it then. I've had enough people come up to me. And let me say it for the record. I'm doing whatever God wants me to do. Do I believe that there's somebody better to run the school than me? Sure. come on up and let me do something else if Pastor Myers feels fit. But let me say this. Oftentimes, people have a lot of head knowledge, but they're not doing much. They know how to raise a family. They know how to have kids. They know how to have five kids, the exact ages of my kids. They know how to have a wife. They know how to do all that stuff, but they're not doing anything. Pride is a destroyer. Stay humble. Remember that all we have and all we are is because of God's grace and because of God's mercy, not because of anything that we have done. And guess what? I am done. I tried to stretch that out too. I made up a couple of illustrations. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you for listening. You guys are always a charm to preach to. And I'm looking forward to having Pastor back here. Let's go ahead and pray. And we will take the offering, Brother Joseph. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity that I have to preach. And Lord, really, it's not that hard of a topic because the glory of God is a topic that it wouldn't be a bad idea to preach that every service. The truth of the matter is, you desire your glory, but sadly, oftentimes we are guilty of stealing your glory. I am guilty of stealing, and I'm speaking from personal experience. I know that I have wronged you in this area, but Lord, I pray that tonight was a great reminder for all of us to make sure that we continue to give you glory for everything that you do, especially if we want it to continue. We want to give you all the credit because it's because of your grace that we're saved. It's because of your grace our family is together, if our family is together. It's because of your grace that we have the opportunities that we do. Thank you for investing in our lives, for giving us the strength to do everything that we do. Let's go ahead and take a couple minutes. If God is working in your heart, and perhaps you could use a little more emphasis in your life. Let's all stand together, please. Sorry about that. Pastor has a hard job. He's got to remember when to tell people to stand, when to tell people to sit down. If God is working in your heart, maybe you could use a little reminder to give God more glory for the things that he is accomplishing in our lives. Perhaps you can come down to the altar and take a little time to let the Lord know how special he is to you. That he is the reason for everything that he has done. And by the way, if you want it to continue, if you want God to continue doing those good things in your life, continue blessing him. Continue giving him glory. Continue giving him praise. And my last point, don't hog the glory. Don't hog the glory. Give God the glory. Perhaps you're here visiting with us tonight. And the most important way to give God glory is by making sure we let him know that we trust him fully for salvation. If you are not sure that you're going to heaven, if you were to die, you're not sure that you're going to heaven or not, if you're not 100% sure, please raise your hand and someone can share with you. I would not be wise not to ask that question, especially in a room full of people that I assume are faithful church members of Pacific Baptist. At the same time, there may be a visitor here. There may be somebody here that is just not sure that Christ is their Savior. They are not sure that heaven's their home. Raise your hand. Someone can share it with you. Anybody at all? Okay. Father, I thank you so much again for all that you've done in our lives. Please continue to bless us and for your purpose. And Lord, if we are blessed, if our needs are met, it's for one purpose, to further the work of God. And I really do pray that you be with our pastor, help him to enjoy his time. He works so hard to make sure that our church goes forward. And I see that, and I'm sure many of us see that. I pray all of us see that. And I pray that you would just give him safety as he comes back to us. And I pray that you just bless our church family. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.